Hi, everybody. This is Jimmy DeYoung with another edition of Prophecy Today Intelligence Briefing. Coming to my broadcast table in a moment will be Winky Madad. He is going to talk about the temporary ceasefire between Hamas and Israel there in the Gaza Strip. And because that is happening, the defense minister of Israel, Avigdor Lieberman, has resigned his position in opposition to the prime minister's slow walking the defeat of Hamas. In a domino effect, the coalition government now looks like the prime minister will have to go to early elections and have another government come in place to deal with Hamas. Winky Madad will explain all of this to us in a moment, right here on Prophecy Today Intelligence Briefing. Of course, we're talking about the Palestinian people there in the Gaza Strip, and you need to understand who these people are, their history, their present statement of coming back to power, and what the future holds for the Palestinian people. I have a DVD documentary, Esau and the Palestinians, that will deal with that subject. You can go to my website, prophecytoday.com, go to the Prophecy Bookstore, and make your purchase of my DVD documentary, Esau and the Palestinians. We use our broadcast partners. One whose name is absolutely familiar is Winky Madad, longtime broadcast partner with us. And there's some activity that's actually going on in southern Israel that I wanted to talk to Winky about. Happening there at the Gaza border with Israel, Winky, Israel and Hamas in Gaza. But there seems to be another partner with Hamas, Islamic Jihad. Give us the overall view of what is really going on. How dangerous is it?
Well, Jimmy, we hope now that a ceasefire that has more or less been arranged through Egypt will hold. But there was an eruption of violence basically over 2.5 days. Israel, of course, in addition to everything else it does, has what we call reconnaissance missions in which electronic surveillance or other type of surveillance are infiltrated. This is not a violent intrusion, but spying and making sure you know what the enemy is up about is part of also the military. Unfortunately, this group was caught as a result of the shootout and the extraction of the group. Hamas and the other Islamic Jihad and some other groups managed to rain over 460 rockets and projectiles and mortars on Israel. Amazingly, Mr. Netanyahu held back from any sort of overt land operation and restricted it to several strategic airstrikes and such. But that, of course, had one fallout that many people felt it wasn't enough. And our defense minister, as of Wednesday, decided to resign. So for Hamas, that's a victory. And so we're stuck now with perhaps a coalition crisis.
Well, I want to get to that in just a moment, but let's go back to that ceasefire, which, as you said, was arranged by Egypt. Is it reality that that ceasefire is going to hold, or actually, before the broadcast is over, they could break it, could they not?
Yes, we've had dozens of ceasefires ever since 2005. I think listeners and you, Jimmy, following us over the years, know my opinion that the disengagement of 13 years ago basically was a failure in terms of strategy. Hamas will continue to do what they do, which is either above ground or terror tunnels below ground. They are fixed on wiping out Israel. That they make it very clear. So it's just a temporary interlude, shall we say, here. Again, as Mr. Netanyahu said this week, that not everybody is or can be privy to all the information that he has. I think he was also intimating something about Iran, because Iran is basically the supplier of many of these missiles and rockets that come through Egypt, because Israel has good control over the water, and the only border, I think, that they have is Egypt. So I think Mr. Netanyahu was saying, perhaps putting Egypt on alert, saying that, okay, you're in charge of this ceasefire, but it doesn't mean now in 2 or 3 days. It means making sure that Hamas does not have the capabilities of being able to launch such a strike before. Anybody who was on social media, perhaps, or maybe was on television, could see the things flying through the air and the Iron Dome missiles coming back to counter them. So it was quite scary. And ironically, the one person who was killed was an Arab from just outside of Hebron. In other words, what they call a Palestinian Arab, who was a building contractor, and he was killed in his apartment in, I think it was Sderot. Things are very odd and very upside down here in the Middle East.
You mentioned Avigdor Lieberman, who was the defense minister, and he pulls out at a strategic time. I cannot understand that. It has to be completely political on his behalf. But are you sure that that's going to stay, or could he come back, change his mind, and rejoin the government again?
Between you and me and everybody who's listening to us, Jimmy, Lieberman has not been the most successful, outstanding defense minister. He came in a huff saying that he's going to get the bodies and our kidnapped soldiers and civilian back within 48 hours, or otherwise he's no more Hamas. That's nowhere. He hasn't made an imprint professionally or even politically on the defense forces. They've been running him rather than he running them. But if he thinks that because Bibi, Mr. Netanyahu, should have gone in, a lot of people are angry at the government for doing that. So he pulls out and he'll come back another couple months and says, well, I was the guy who wanted to go in. And he might pick up some votes. Remember, or can we remind the listening audience that Lieberman is Russian or origin, or Soviet, actually. I think he's Moldavian, to be correct. And he has a very locked-in type of a vote. If they don't believe in him, he's nowhere. I mean, if he begins to lose the Russian vote, he has no real native Israeli vote. So he thinks that he'll come up on top. But it's still a long way, and I don't know if Netanyahu will hold out. Everybody will forget by another year.
Yeah, that is a possibility, and that next election is almost like eternity away from this particular time in history. Well, with Avigdor Lieberman's resignation, that leaves the prime minister with only one extra member of the Knesset. The 120 members, he has 61. The opposition has 59. Could that make the government fall at this time and have to go to elections early?
Well, possibly. I mean, two members of the coalition could get sick and not come to the Knesset for a crucial vote. But more importantly, Jimmy, and I know this is sometimes difficult for those who've been listening to us over the years to understand, Israel is a coalition government. And therefore, then parties like the Jewish Home Party, with Naftali Bennett at its head, could extract additional gains from Netanyahu by saying, well, we'll pull out. And, well, Mr. Netanyahu could say, go ahead, pull out. Let's see what happens. You think you're going to get the votes that you had last time? I don't think so. So it becomes a game of, I don't know, when I was younger, Jim, we used to call chicken.
Yeah.
You know, who's going to get out of the way first while you're driving a bicycle or anything else down the road? So that first of all, it makes politics interesting here. Makes it very complicated, because the only thing I can tell our American audience is if, like, President Trump actually was head of a government in which there was a conservative Tea Party and a liberal wing of the Republican Party all together. And in fact, if I'm not mistaken, it happened to him on the several votes like the health care, when people backed out at the last moment and he didn't come through with a vote. In Israel, that happens almost all the time.
Winky, what's the heartbeat of the body politic of Israel? The nation could go to war, possibly, or are they going to just stand by and let the threat keep the Israeli government from doing what they should do?
Well, the long-term damage, both politically and actually socially, is that the South is a growing population. We're not just talking about some of those small communities that you perhaps visited, or the kibbutzim in the area. But you're talking now about Ashkelon and perhaps even Ashdod. And I think about 2 or 3 weeks ago, there was a missile launched at Beersheba. So it's not a question of, oh, it's happening far away from mind and far away from sight. In addition to that, people will begin to ask, are you sacrificing these people? Are you keeping them on the borderline without any sort of protection? So these are the issues that could undermine, and I don't know the extent, Jimmy, Mr. Netanyahu's Likud party standing. They were very high about a week and a half ago, and now they've dropped a good few seats in the polls. The polls are polls, but still it does indicate a shift in public opinion or feeling about the issue. So I don't know if Netanyahu will go to early elections, or he'll say, well, no, I don't think I have enough votes. We'll just keep on going along and see what happens.
That's a very viable possibility. Let me ask you, Winky, a bottom-line question. Could the Israeli Defense Force wipe out Hamas? And if so, why not?
Yes, it could. It unfortunately would entail too many casualties among the Israeli soldiers because it means house-to-house fighting, because we're not like the Nazis or the Russians in several places around the world, or Assad from Syria, in which we don't really care too much and drop bombs all over the place and kill thousands and thousands of civilians. We've been through this before. Several times, in which the whole world press and opinion gangs up on us if, God forbid, we do have an error in an airstrike, which is also always on the agenda, because there's human failure, there's a mechanical failure. You're in a war, and if you hide behind the population and you purposely plant or place your launch sites among the population, and you hide among the population, that's what's going to happen. So it's a very difficult situation. Can we do it? Yes. We can send three huge columns across to the Mediterranean Sea, cut off the Gaza Strip, everybody turns 90 degrees one way, and they begin marching. We have the tanks, we have the air, but I don't think that public opinion or the United Nations would allow that type of operation. Although it would clean up the situation, the only thing that we can do now is encourage Gazans who are suffering to do away with that Hamas government if they can. It's about time they wake up and take responsibility for their government.
Well, this is a story that we're going to have to stay on top of, and Winky Madad will help us to do that. He can give us the report of what's going on and explain all the activities and details behind the headlines. Winky, thank you so very much, my good friend. We're surely going to have to talk again real soon.
Jimmy, thank you for having me on, and goodbye to you and our listeners.
Very important report from Winky Madad, helping us to understand the situation there in the Gaza Strip. In fact, I would have to say that if that ceasefire does fall, the third Gaza war could begin very quickly. And because of the slow walking by the Prime Minister on defeating Hamas and Islamic Jihad in the Gaza, the Israeli Defense Minister, Avigdor Lieberman, has resigned and put Israel into a political crisis and the possibility of the downfall of the Netanyahu coalition government. This all seems to be a precursor to the last war for the Jewish people, and that will be when Israel will defeat the Amalekites. Remember, Amalek was the grandson of Esau, Genesis chapter 36 and verse 12, a man that God said he will have indignation against forever. The prophet Obadiah reveals in his prophecy, verses 15 to 18, that the Jewish people will destroy the Amalekites, the Palestinian people of today. They will be destroyed as if they had never been a people. It's what's going on in Gaza today, a precursor for Bible prophecy to be fulfilled. And that is my prophetic perspective on the news today. I'm Jimmy DeYoung. Thank you so very much for joining us on this edition of Prophecy Today Intelligence Briefing. Be sure to come back again next time when we will continue to look at current events in light of biblical prophecy.